This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee has ended its 6 days of historic broadcast debate.
Chair announces that this concludes the work of the committee under the procedural resolution which was adopted last week.
Chairman Peter Modino, there were some final procedural details to be worked out, questions about staff reports. Nothing dramatic, then the gavel came down.
The committee stands adjourned until further call of the chair.
I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. After adopting 3 separate articles of impeachment, the committee refused Tuesday to recommend that Mr. Nixon be removed from office, either for secret Cambodia bombing raids or for underpayment of his income taxes. More on the vote from Connie Chung in Washington.
Committee members ended their 6 days of deliberation, relieved they had completed their assigned task, but in no way pleased that they had in fact recommended impeachment of the President of the United States. Democrat William Hungate said it's like getting a tooth pulled. You didn't want to do it or like it, but it had to be done. Democrat Paul Sarbanes said he felt spent and tired. He thought the committee was fair. Even anti-impeachment Republican David Dennis agreed with the fairness, but he promised to, quote, get ready to win this war in the House. The articles of impeachment will probably go before the House sometime in mid-August. First, the judiciary staff must finish the committee's report, which includes the articles of impeachment, plus supporting material and written opinions of dissenting viewpoints. The House Rules Committee will set the all-important procedures for the debate on the House floor. Then the matter will finally come before the full House for consideration. Connie Chung, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
The Huntsville, Texas story after this.
Time Magazine.
What's in it for you this week?
Cover story. The 4 days behind the fateful 2711 vote to impeach the president.
Time shows you how private decisions were made.
How differences were reconciled.
How struggles over specificity were resolved.
How each member of the House Judiciary Committee endured his own anguish of responsibility.
In the Nation, a report on the rationale behind the Supreme Court's unanimous no to Mr. Nixon.
The World, a study of the uneasy ceasefire in Cyprus.
The tough talk of the Turks.
The sudden retreat of the Greek generals.
And the return of Constantine Karamanlis to power in Athens.
These are some of the 46 news stories in the current issue of Time.
Reports that help you view the whole world's week.
For Time takes you to Switzerland to witness the new vigor of evangelical Protestantism.
To Russia, where there's no inflation, only an Orwellian ripoff that does the same thing.
To Australia, to trace an invasion of toads that weigh 3 pounds, live 40 years, and eat almost anything.
And to Vatican City for a look at the problems of putting together a collection of 20th century religious art.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting. Including you.
There are some rather dramatic new developments at the Texas State Prison in Huntsville. Bernard Goldberg reports.
Prison spokesman Ron Taylor told newsmen that Fred Gomez Carrasco has threatened to blow up an unidentified woman hostage unless 3 bulletproof vests are delivered to him and 2 other convicts holding 13 hostages in the prison library.
Mr. Carrasco asked again about his vest, if he would be receiving them. We told him that he would not. He at that point threatened to blow up one of the hostages sitting at the front door with a bomb that apparently has been constructed in the library area. We offered a countermeasure for his consideration, which was an exchange of the vests for all of the hostages. Mr. Carrasco continued his threats for a period of time against the hostage at the door, and then decided that a final decision on his part would come at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Carrasco is said to have 3 bombs, one for the woman hostage at the library door, one for all the other hostages, and one for anyone who tries to break into the library. Officials say no decision has been made on what they'll do. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News at the Texas State Prison in Huntsville.
In the South Carolina gubernatorial race, political newcomer Charles Pug Ravenel has defeated veteran Congressman William Jennings Bryan Dorn in the Democratic runoff. Ravenel apparently has won about 55% of the vote. More after this.
I'm Ron Swoboda for CBS Radio. You can hear me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday now on Worldwide Sports. I alternate with colleague Pat Summerall, who's here every Tuesday and Thursday. On every broadcast, along with the latest scores, we try to bring you interviews with top figures in the world of sports and then give you a good idea of what's coming up. Join Pat and me, won't you, for complete national and international sports coverage on worldwide sports every Monday through Friday over the CBS radio network.
You're driving through town. You pass a sign you may have seen 1,000 times. The sign of your local Red Cross chapter. Look behind that sign, and you'll see that the Good Neighbor is on call 24 hours a day. Not only to help with disasters, but with hundreds of special needs of people. People you know. Across America, in fact, we do over 100 different helping people jobs. American Red Cross. Join us.
Judge Sirica now has the first batch of subpoenaed White House tapes. Presidential lawyer James St. Clair delivered the 20 tapes just 15 minutes before the deadline in compliance with last week's Supreme Court ruling. Greece and Turkey have signed a new declaration imposing a ceasefire on Cyprus. The agreement leaves many problems unsettled, and the foreign ministers will meet again August 8th for more discussions. Howard Hughes and three other associates have been indicted by a federal grand jury in Las Vegas on stock manipulation charges. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI. Stay tuned now for the CBS Mystery Theater.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to another world. A world of suspense, a world of the unexpected, and a world where fantasy and reality may often wear the same face. We are told the truth shall make you free. However, in certain situations, the truth can send you to jail. And so it's all a matter of what freedom really means, not to mention what truth really means. For Eleanor Hartley, this is no philosophical, theological, or intellectual exercise. It has become suddenly a tangible and terrible fact of life.
Nice of you to show up, Congresswoman.
Mr. Perry, I agreed to visit you in your cell on two conditions. A, it would be kept secret. B, I would do nothing that's foreign to my principles.
Of course, of course.
Mr. Perry, I find you a thoroughly despicable person.
I've heard that before.
You make your money from narcotics, gambling, extortion, prostitution.
Well, you know, everybody should do what he does best.
And you're a murderer.
They could never prove that in court.
Till now. But it looks as if they've got you finally. They have you cold for the murder of Paul Grover.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to see you, Congresswoman. I thought you'd want to do the right thing.
The right thing?
Yeah. And the right thing would be for you to confess to that murder.
What did you say?
You heard me.
Why should I confess?
Because you killed Paul Grover. Well, Congresswoman, didn't you?
Mystery drama, A Tiny Drop of Poison, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars
Tammy Grimes.
It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Some research experts say you can't taste the difference between beers. Well, if they're right, then Anheuser-Busch wastes a barrel of time Beechwood aging Budweiser. Only they don't think so. Brewing beer right does make a difference. And they're betting a bundle that you can taste the difference in Bud. When it comes to brewing Budweiser, the Anheuser-Busch choice is to go all the way, because they still care about quality. Look at it this way. If the Bud people have a choice between what some experts say and what beer drinkers say, well, you'd better believe they'll go with you beer drinkers every time. When you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, we're the Action Corps. See, we contribute more.
T's for the teamwork of our crew.
Aye, our ideals are high.
Oh, oughtn't you apply?
Means it's now that we need you.
A, C, T.
We could go on all day. Volunteers are needed right away.
Action is VISTA, the Peace Corps, RSVP, SCORE, and other volunteer programs that are helping people to help themselves. If you are trained in a skill or just have a little love to share, Action needs you.
Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, baby. Action really needs you.
Don't crawl under a rock. Get into action.
Oh, yeah.
This is a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
There's simply no way of knowing. So often, a fateful day will begin quietly, prosaically, with absolutely no hint that the steady pace of the commonplace is destined to quicken or falter. With no intimation that today a die will irrevocably be cast, and henceforward our lives will change forever. Or even cease to exist. A day like this has dawned for Eleanor Hartley, but she doesn't know it yet. Eleanor Hartley. At 32, she has it all. Looks, brains, personality, and a mission in life that seems certain of fulfillment. And on this day, this particular day, Eleanor Hartley is in a recording studio making a very important statement.
The principal issue, the primary issue, the overriding, indeed the only issue, is morality. Do you or do you not? Can you? Or can you not trust your elected representatives?
Okay, Eleanor, thanks. We got it.
But I haven't finished.
That's all we need.
Tom, I intend to run my own campaign.
Absolutely. Maury, don't edit any of this stuff now. Grab a portable rig and come on with us. We're going to the Madison Beach Club.
Just a minute. I have no intention of going to the...
You know, we didn't even drink our coffee. Why don't we just relax for a couple of minutes?
Mr. Caldwell, I think it's time we reached an understanding.
I thought we understood each other all along. You want some sugar?
I agreed to run for Congress because a group of concerned citizens asked me.
Well, they did.
And I thought it would be that simple. Why do I have to go to the Madison Beach Club?
You want to talk to people? That's where thousands of them are. Also, you look great in a bikini.
I think that's dishonest.
Why? It's your very own body. Is it your fault that it's more attractive than your opponent's, who happens to be a bald, paunchy old party hack?
Oh, why can't politics be simple?
Hmm. You know, it's been such a morning. Didn't even get a chance to see the papers. Oh, look, right here. Right here, on page one. This is what the game is all about.
What?
Look, we got some more results from the surveys. You have gone up 7 points in the last week.
That's not very much.
Are you kidding? An unknown running against Big Jim Parkhurst, an entrenched incumbent? The way you're gathering momentum, we are in. Look, Eleanor, I have to know something.
What?
Big Jim is going to take you seriously from now on.
I should hope so.
Things may get rough.
I'm not afraid.
You don't know what rough is. You don't know how Parkhurst's people will probe and pry and dig. So, if there's anything in your past, anything at all...
What are you trying to say?
By now, Parkhurst has unleashed the hounds. They'll examine your life from the day you were born.
I have nothing to hide.
Good.
That is...
Yeah?
No. No one would ever come up with anything to embarrass me.
The year you were 22?
What about that year?
Eleanor, we can't account for it.
What are you talking about?
Well, we've checked you through school, we've checked you through college.
You mean you've actually investigated me?
Of course. When you were 23, you married Ted, and the past 5 years have been an open book. But that whole year, while you were 22...
Yes, well, like so many kids who get out of college, I was at loose ends. Didn't know what I wanted. So I just took off. I traveled around the country. I was just trying to find myself. And I did. And that's all there was to it.
Okay. Come on, finish your coffee. We're off. Hey.
What?
Look at that. Oh. No, it's just nothing. It's an article here.
Which article?
It's got nothing to do with politics. I just happen to know this guy.
Who?
Oh, some guy. He was killed about 5 years ago. Murdered one night. Nobody knew why or by whom. Well, this sure throws a new light on the case. Turns out he was a foreign agent. Who'd ever thought that Paul Grover could turn out to be a foreign
agent? What did you say his name was?
Grover, Paul Grover. Oh, did you know him?
Grover. No, I never knew anyone.
Go figure some people.
Tom?
Something the matter?
I didn't feel good. Got a headache. Maybe I better go home. I'll rest for a while.
Eleanor, what's the matter?
I told you, I have a headache.
Okay. It's a woman's privilege.
Hi there, Congresswoman.
Hi there, Detective.
Get any votes today?
A few. You catch any crooks?
No. I'm on a whole new thing. Sherlock Ted Hartley, that's me. I draw all the weird ones. This was a guy named Paul Grover.
Grover?
How do you like this? He was murdered 5 years ago, buried and forgotten. Now it's suddenly wide open again. You know why?
Tom showed it to me in the morning paper.
He was a spy. Which means we have to find out who killed him.
Wasn't it... always important to find out?
Well, now more than ever. The information we have now is that he was ready to come over to our side and spill what he knew.
But, isn't this out of your,
The Federals asked us to cooperate. So the old man called me in and said, Ted, go get him.
Oh.
I'm a victim of my own reputation. So now I have to lone wolf around and try to sniff out a case that's 5 years old. Let's eat in tonight.
Okay.
It's a rare night I have you all to myself.
Maybe I should never have gone into politics.
What are you talking about? Here you are, a cop's wife.
You're more than just a cop.
And you're more than just a wife. It's one of those crazy things. You're going to go to Congress.
I have to be elected first.
Oh, baby, you're home free. My career took off the day I married you.
Oh, come on, Ted.
No, I was always a good detective, but in the last 5 years, you'd be surprised how many ideas I got from you. You really taught me how to think.
What do the police know about the murder?
Well, just about zero. They figured Grover stopped for a hitchhiker because when he left his office to drive home, he was alone. They found his car at the side of the road, and he was about 30 feet away, stabbed to death. Funny guy. Lived all alone, no friends, just people who knew him casually.
Well, after all this time, how can you expect to find the killer?
Oh, I'll find the killer, whoever he is. At least that's what I keep telling myself.
I looked at Dad. If he's determined to get the killer of Paul Grover, eventually he will. And I don't know what to do. Should I tell him now? Suppose I did. What would he do about it? Why? Why should I tell him? He can never find out. For all his skill, experience, instinct, he could never find out. No one could find out. It all happened 5 years ago. When I was someone else, drifting about in another world. How could anyone ever link me to Paul Grover? There were no clues. No one ever saw us together. No one saw it happen. No one. Thanks for picking me up, mister.
Grover. Paul Grover. What are you doing out all alone this time of night?
Oh, I just feel like walking, moving.
You, one of them hippies?
What's his name?
Talking about names. What's yours?
Eleanor.
Eleanor what?
What does it matter?
Okay. How'd you like some supper?
That would be, welcome.
I know a nice little place just off the state highway here.
You're very kind, Mr. Grover. Very kind. Why are we stopping?
Oh, well, I figured before supper we...
We what?
Well, let me put it this way. You want your supper, you gotta sing for it.
Take your arm away.
Hey, now listen.
Don't you touch me.
Who are you kidding? I know your kind. Hey, you come back here.
Let go of me. Let go.
What are you fighting me for? A girl like you, you don't care, and I'm even willing to pay.
Help!
Scream.
Help!
All. Scream all you want. Who's going to hear you? Okay. You asked for this.
No. No. Please, put that knife away.
You quit scratching and slapping, and you just behave yourself, and you just do as I tell you, and you won't get hurt.
I'll go to the police.
Yeah, who'd believe you? Who'd take your word against mine? I'll say you're trying to frame me. You'll go to jail. Now, come on, honey, be nice. I'll even give you money.
All right. I'll be nice.
Don't you try to run away now. I'm holding this knife.
Sure.
Well... Now you're talking.
Drop it.
You break my arm.
That's right. That's the way I was taught. Drop the knife.
I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Drop it.
Oh, you.
I told you. I told you to drop the knife, but you wouldn't.
I don't want to die.
Mr. Grover... Mr. Grover, I'm sorry, Mr. Grover. But I... What was I supposed to do? You wanted to kill me. What was I supposed to do? He was dead. The knife somehow had been turned against his own body. I just stood there. I remember now. I wonder why I didn't panic. But I was cool. I made sure to leave nothing behind me. Not in the car. Not anywhere around. There was no blood on my clothes. And so, I just walked away. I walked away into the night. And no one saw me. No one had seen me get into his car. No one saw me kill him. No one saw me leave. Nowhere does any shred or scrap of evidence exist to link Eleanor Daly. Now, Eleanor Hartley to Paul Grover.
Well, she certainly told it the way it was. But
Is it true that there are really no clues? Perhaps there are no fingerprints or bloodstains, but how about other clues? Stronger clues. The clues that exist in the mind, the heart, the conscience. We may find a few of those when I return shortly with Act Two.
Buick introduces a new concept for you to consider in light of all the concern about miles per gallon. Range. Range is what you get when you multiply the mileage your car gets per gallon by the number of gallons your car's gas tank holds. Range is one of the things that help make Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon gas tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Oh, sure. You can talk about good-tasting diet drinks, but I know. I'm Goldilocks, and here at my taste-testing laboratory, I taste-test them all. And nobody's been drinking my diet drinks. Until I tested sugar-free diet 7-Up. And then, kabloomy, every bear wanted some. Diet 7-Up is fresh, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
The Veterans Administration helps people in little ways.
A veteran, let's say, is trying to get an appointment. He's filed to go to school under the GI Bill. He's not getting any money, but he's entitled. Well, what's wrong with writing a letter saying that under the law, this man is entitled to receive $220 a month for attending school on a full-time basis? Believe it or not, he can take that letter with the little job, take it to the real estate people, and because he has an additional income of $220, although he isn't receiving it, it makes his chances of getting that apartment much better. And this is what I mean about the little things. Going beyond the duty every once in a while. Just go a little bit out of your way to help someone. That's my philosophy. To me, these are little things. But big things to that person. Very a big thing to that person.
At VA, we try a little harder to help.
Unusual and attractive young couple, Ted and Eleanor Hartley. Ted is a brilliant detective on the city police force. Eleanor is so bright and sincere and articulate that a citizens' committee has asked her to run for Congress. Eleanor is busy with her campaign. Ted is busy trying to track down a murderer. This sounds like two different stories, but actually, it's really one story. Because the killer Tom is looking for happens to be Eleanor.
No. No, don't. Let me go. Let me go. I'll kill you, Mr. Grover. Kill you.
Eleanor, darling.
You...
Eleanor, darling, wake up. Wake up.
Oh. I must have had a nightmare.
You were muttering and mumbling the craziest things.
I think it's just... I've been working too hard.
Darling, you don't have to put so much into it. There are lots of people working for you.
I want to be elected, Ted. I feel I could do so much good.
Sure.
I feel I owe something.
You owe something? What?
I feel I have a debt. I have to make up for something.
What?
Oh, well, once I did someone an injury.
Who?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, but if it bothers you...
This person had it coming.
Then forget it.
It's not that easy.
Want to talk about it?
No. Part of our bargain, remember? We'd never press each other for details about what happened before we met each other.
Well, I'd say overall it's a good bargain, but... Tell me, did I bother you with this Grover case?
Bother me?
Mumbling, but you don't want to talk about it.
No, I'll talk about it if you want. I remember reading... It was such a messy murder.
I have to find the killer, no matter how long it takes.
I'm scared because I know Ted means it. He never quits. He'll stay with it forever. I don't know what to do, but how can I tell him? How can I confess? It was self-defense, but it'll be the end. Not just the end of my career, but the end between Ted and me. For my part, I offer you a dedication to the truth. I will follow the truth, wherever it may lead. I will seek the truth, whomever it may hurt. What we need in our lives today, at every level, is the truth. The truth. Unvarnished, stark, simple. Thank you.
Come on, we have to go. Come on.
How did it sound, Tom?
We'll sneak down the back stairs. You're due on the south side in 15 minutes. There's the car.
You didn't tell me how it sounded, Tom.
Yeah, no, I didn't. What's the matter, Eleanor?
The matter?
Yeah, with you. The speech. There's something missing.
Oh, what?
I don't know. Let's say some of the fire was out. Anything wrong?
Nothing, Tom.
Having a bit of a tiff with Ted?
Ted is absolutely in favor of my running.
So what's wrong?
Why do you insist something's wrong?
Your speech. I didn't believe a word of it.
Why?
Because it was obvious to me that you didn't mean a word of it either.
But I...
Eleanor, something is wrong. Something has been just a little off-key all week. Now, why didn't you tell me about it?
Tom, I wish you'd believe me. Everything's... just fine.
Yeah?
I mean it.
Well, if everything's just fine, why are you so pale and why are you perspiring?
Tom...
And there is something?
Tom, there's nothing we can talk about.
But it's serious.
Yes. Serious.
Eleanor, if it should ever come out...
It can never come out, Tom, believe me.
Eleanor...
Please, Tom, don't ask me any more questions. Please.
Sure, sure. Okay. But whatever it is, I'm in your corner. I'll back you. I'll fight for you no matter what you did. Even if you committed murder.
I can't believe we have a free afternoon.
Not Ted. You've been busier than I have.
Well, that's true. I'm the one who's been doing the neglecting. Guilty. I even got you out here on false pretenses. I'm working.
Working?
Mm-hmm. I said let's park the car and go for a little walk in the country, but... Right here is the site.
What site?
The site of the murder. The Paul Grover murder. Right here, past this tree.
No. Ted, I...
Huh? What is it, darling?
Something about this place.
But if you want to leave...
After all, if you want me to help you...
Right here, past this tree, is where he drove off the road.
To, pick up a hitchhiker.
No. I don't buy that story anymore.
Why not?
There was another car.
Oh?
There were tire marks about 50 feet south of here where another car pulled off the road.
But, didn't the police know this 5 years ago?
Oh, sure. It was in the report, but the police are like everyone else. We have a considerable body of knowledge, but we only use what seems relevant at the time.
You think there was another car involved?
That's right. Someone met him here and killed him. It has to be that way, because he was being set up. So, you see, I've got some clues. I have those tire marks. They made a mold 5 years ago. And I've got this little button made of bone. It was clutched in Grover's hand. Take a look at it.
I looked. It was a little button. The sleeve button. From corduroy jacket. One of a host of buttons that adorned that jacket. The jacket I had worn that night. There were so many buttons. I never even noticed the one that was missing. That jacket. I still have it. I don't wear it often. But I still have it. It's in one of my closets. What you're saying is that if you can find the jacket it came from, you've got your killer.
That's right. I've got it.
Him?
Well, it's from a man's type field jacket, very popular about 5 years ago, although lots of people wore them. I think you've got one like it back home. Anyhow, there was a fight. Grover was stabbed. The killer took the money.
But I didn't...
You...
I...
Didn't what?
I didn't know that robbery was the motive. Wasn't it supposed to have been a secret agent thing?
I figure a hired killer. But he was stupid enough to pick up some loose bills. That should hang him.
Are you sure?
You know what else I've got? I found a witness. There's a little restaurant a couple of miles down the state highway.
Certainly, I don't mind telling you the story again. There was this young man who came in here that night.
How can you remember so far back?
Oh, Mr. Grover was a steady customer. I was a good customer, so I remember what happened the night he died. Yes, he was a good customer, but he put ketchup on everything. Anyway, on that night, this young fellow, he comes in, he's wearing a corduroy jacket and denim pants.
Why did you notice him?
Well, you see, he ordered a steak, and then he pays with a $10 bill, and there's blood on the bill.
Blood?
Yes, so I says to him, this looks like blood. He says, does it? And I says, how did blood get on this bill? And he says, maybe it's blood money. He takes his change, gives me a dollar tip, and leaves.
Why didn't you tell this to the police?
They never asked. Would you believe that this lieutenant here is the first policeman that's walked into my restaurant since it happened 5 years ago?
And can you describe him, Hugo?
I have never forgotten him. He was a big man, 6 foot tall, about 200 pounds. He had black hair, brown eyes, a big scar on the left side of his chin, and the tip of his left pinky finger was missing.
Thanks, Hugo.
Oh, no, sir. Yeah, don't mention it, Lieutenant. As far as the wife is concerned, madam, if I get up early on election day, I might even vote for you.
You would? Why?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's why.
What?
Well, you see, you tell the average politician that you're going to vote for him. He shakes your hand. He looks sincere. He says, thank you. You look sort of surprised. You say, why? That is honest. It shows you're honest, and that's something.
Hi, Eleanor.
Come in, Tom.
Got here as soon as I could. Something wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Or maybe everything's wrong.
Okay, Eleanor, spill it. I don't care what you have to tell me. I don't care how bad it is. Let's get it out of the way.
You carry a thing around with you, Tom. You justify it. You say there was no help for it. It wasn't your fault. Why should you pay for it? But it doesn't let you alone. Whether you admit it or not, it keeps building inside of you, and you feel you just have to tell someone.
I understand. Everyone has his own little secret.
This isn't a little secret, Tom. Funny, isn't it? Of all the people I know, I feel I can only tell you.
What about Ted?
No. No, I can't tell Ted.
Does it concern another man?
Yes, but not the way you might think.
Okay. We had to come to this point, you and I, Eleanor, because, well, we're going places together.
I know.
Eleanor, 10, 15 years from now, you could become president of the United States.
Oh, Tom. Oh, Tom. Thank you. Oh, I needed a laugh.
Why are you laughing? Sooner or later, we'll have a woman president. Why not you?
Dream on, Tom Caldwell. Dream on.
For all of them, it began with a dream. So ask yourself, why not you? You'll be 40-ish, even more beautiful than you are now. Wiser, more experienced. Now, what could hold you back?
Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Darling?
Ted, where are you?
At police headquarters. I won't be home until late.
Can't it wait?
No. I have to do it now because I just brought in my prisoner.
Who?
The killer. You know, the guy that murdered Paul Grover.
The man who murdered Grover? Can you be sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. We got him cold.
Is it possible? Can two people have murdered Paul Grover? We know of one, but who is the other? Can there be another? Maybe it's possible to murder a man twice. We will deal with a number of interesting possibilities when I return shortly with Act Three.
Just when you think you've packed away your sinus miseries along with your winter coat, along comes summer sinus.
My face hurts. My head aches. How could it be my sinus? It's summer.
Even a change in the weather or air pollution can make your sinus flare up. So can pollen. Your allergy can trigger sinus.
When it happens, what can I take for it?
Take Sinoff tablets. They help relieve throbbing sinus pain and help drain clogged sinus cavities. The miseries of summer sinus.
Sinoff can do all that?
Right. Sinoff tablets give you a full dose of pure aspirin for pain, plus a decongestant to help drain clogged sinus cavities, plus an anti-allergy ingredient.
Sinoff tablets, the sinus medicine in the bright red box.
For summer sinus miseries, get Sinoff, S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Take only as directed.
Sinoff. I'll remember that.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But, dear, do you think we can meet the payments?
She's right, you know. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. And before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you can make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or a loss of your job?
Gee, maybe I'd better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Is usually par for the course, it does appear that some people can be murdered twice. 5 years ago, Eleanor Hartley was forced to kill a man in self-defense. And now it develops that the police have evidence against another killer. And Eleanor Hartley, whose horizons are unlimited, now has to make a crucial decision.
Everything all right with Ted?
Yes. Just fine. They got the killer.
Killer?
The one who murdered that, Paul Grover.
Well, that's great. Well, Ted is really a great detective. Who's the suspect?
I didn't ask.
It'll probably be in the news. Okay, Eleanor, I'm waiting.
Tom, I don't want to lose everything. Why should I lose everything?
You won't lose anything.
Don't say that.
Is it that bad?
Yes.
It'll have to come out.
No, it won't.
Eleanor, Big Jim is out to get you. He'll stop at nothing. Whatever it is, believe me, sooner or later he'll uncover.
No, he can't. No one can. Only I know.
Eleanor, there is no way out except the truth.
You're wrong, Tom. There's another way out. And it turned up for me tonight. So, the problem is solved. It's settled. It no longer exists.
Eleanor,
No, Tom. I've pulled myself together. I realize the stakes I'm playing for. It simply will not bother me anymore.
You say that so easily.
It's a matter of alternatives. What will be best for everyone in the long run?
Well, I don't know what it is, but I sure hope you can live with it.
I've lived with it for 5 years. I can live with it forever. I'll have to. Ted?
Oh, I'm sorry, I woke you.
Did you think I could fall asleep? Tell me everything. Who is he?
Vince Perry. Very bad boy. He's had quite a career. 5 or 6 years ago, he was just a punk. Now he was on his way to being number one in narcotics in this town.
But you've got him for murder. How did you? Well, after all, 5 years ago, the police couldn't get anywhere.
Well, I had one break. That little restaurant. I guess the detectives never went there last time. It is an out-of-the-way place, but...
Why didn't Hugo come forward?
Hugo represents a large group of people. Guys like Hugo simply don't volunteer.
But all Hugo gave you was the description.
It was enough. It told me it was Vince Perry.
But the description, is it enough?
Two other things put him on the scene. The tire marks. They're a very special Italian tire. I checked back. I found out that Vince Perry had come into some money, bought an imported custom Italian car. And the button. I made the rounds of clothing stores all around his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Found out where he bought most of his clothes. Guy checked back through his records, and sure enough, Vince had bought a corduroy jacket with that type of button.
Will all that be enough?
The description, the button, the cast the cops took of the tires 5 years ago. Plus, well, I shouldn't say that.
What?
Plus the fact he looks like a killer, has a bad reputation. Well, we don't have to worry about him anymore.
Why did you say that? Who was worrying about him?
Well, I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong?
Let me just swallow this.
Now, wait a minute. What's with the pills?
I need something to help me sleep.
She never took pills before.
I've never been under this kind of pressure before.
Well, why should you be under pressure?
You don't understand politics.
I thought the idea was just for you to get up and tell the truth.
It's more complicated.
Because you make it more complicated.
Well, you don't know what a strain I...
We're fighting. Is this the way it's going to be?
No. No, darling. Everything will be all right. I'll be all right. What's the schedule for today, Tom?
Hey, I'm worried about you. I like the way you look. You're not getting any rest, but it's a light day. Lunch at the City Boosters Club. Guess who'll be there?
Who?
Your worthy opponent, Big Jim Parkhurst himself.
Do I have to meet him?
He's really a very nice guy.
He's a thief.
Oh, and this morning I've arranged for you to visit Vince Perry.
Vince Perry?
Yeah, in his cell.
Well, why would I...
Calm down.
How could you even suggest...
Look at it this way. You have to do me a favor because I have to do Charlie Colligan a favor.
Who's
Charlie Colligan, he'll deliver the vote for you in the Fourth Ward.
This is the kind of politics that I intend to fight.
No, my dear, these are the kind of politics that I shield you from. Vince Perry just wants to see you.
Why?
Well, it'll be a very private meeting. Nobody will even know you were there.
Why?
Colligan owes him a favor.
Do you mean to tell me that if I refuse to see this gangster... I can lose the Fourth Ward?
It's not that simple, that open and shut. But elections have been lost by one vote.
Well, let's get it over with.
Well, nice of you to show up, Congresswoman.
I haven't been elected yet.
Oh, I hear it's in a bag.
I only came as a favor to a good friend.
Now, you're getting the hang of politics. That's what it's all about, no? Favors.
I agreed to come to your cell on two conditions. A, it would be kept secret. B, I would do nothing that's foreign to my principles.
Okay. Let's find out what your principles are. Let's see if you want to start out by doing the right thing.
What do you know about the right thing?
I know this. The right thing would be for you to confess to the murder of Paul Grover.
What did you say?
Come on, you know what I said. You know why I said it. You killed Paul Grover. I seen you do it.
That's a lie.
Here's the way it was. Now I get the contract to knock him off. I followed him in my car. I figured I'd bag him after he came out of that restaurant. But first he stops and picks you up. Then, after a couple of minutes, he stops again. So I stop. I heard it all. I seen it all. I let you go. Why not? Huh? You did my job for me. I never forget what you looked like.
You can't prove a word of it.
I'm in the spot you were in when he tried to attack you. Now, nobody would have believed you then. Nobody would believe me now.
What do you expect me to do?
Like I say, the right thing. There's two kinds of people, honest folks and thieves. Now, there's a law. The honest folks obey it, period. The thieves break it. I'm a thief. What are you?
Eleanor, I don't think you two have ever met. I'd like to present you to your opponent, Congressman Jim Parkhurst.
How do you do?
Well, so you're Eleanor Hartley. Well, now I know why I'm going to lose. You're even prettier in person.
I think I'll leave you two to chat.
Are you already conceding, Congressman?
Oh, sure. My time's run out.
Really? But you're running a very aggressive campaign.
Well, you kill a snake, the body can still wiggle. No, dear, I've had it. The voters are wise to me.
You know, I always thought you were an ogre, and you are, but a very charming ogre.
Eleanor, let me give you a word of advice.
Advice?
Best in the world, because it's advice I never followed myself. Now, when I became aware of you for the first time, you broke my heart.
How?
I saw you as I was, 30 years ago, filled with spirit, sincerity, your desire to find the truth and work for it.
Really?
Yeah, sounds strange coming from me, doesn't it? Well, just remember, it doesn't happen all at once. You wake up one day and, well, yes, you're a crook. You're dishonest. You betray your constituents.
Now, you're not really that bad.
My dear, I'm worse. It starts with the first lie, the first deal. That's when you swallow that first tiny drop of poison. Remember that. Have you tasted yours yet? No, don't answer. Just think about it.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you.
Well, I know you'll have a highly successful career because you're a very honest little lady. You might even become president. Good luck.
Well, what did you think of Big Jim?
Tom, I want to do something, but I need your advice. I want to make a statement. It's something that is true, but it would end my career.
Then why make it?
Because it's the right thing to do. Ted, what are you typing?
How was the big luncheon?
Oh, the usual. What are you typing?
Here, want to read it?
To Chief of Detectives, dear Inspector Summerfield, please accept my resignation from the police force. Ted, what's this?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't want to be a cop any longer.
Why? Why?
Well, look, you'll be going to Washington.
I thought we...
Why do I have to be a cop all my life? Why can't I try something else?
Because, Ted, for you there is nothing else.
Look, let it go.
Ted, I love you.
I love you, too.
What do you want me to do?
About what?
You know. How long have you known?
How long have I known what?
When did you first find out that I killed Paul Grover?
The first night I got the assignment, you told me about it in your sleep. You were having a nightmare, but you told me. And every night since then, in your sleep, you kept telling me. The button's missing from your jacket in the closet.
Why didn't you arrest me?
How could I? Why should I? Besides, this is the perfect setup for Vince Perry. He's a rat. We're better off without him.
Yes.
And Paul Grover would have been killed by him an hour later. Why should your life be ruined? It's better this way. We need you more than Vince Perry. And it was self-defense, anyhow.
Then why do you want to resign from the force?
Because I just made my first deal. I've taken the first drop of poison.
Someone else said that to me earlier.
I'll stop now before I become the kind of cop I have no use for. Hey, what are you doing?
You can't resign, Ted. You're going to make an arrest.
No, I won't. I can't.
You can. You must. I've taken the first drop, too. And I can't live with it either. Please, Ted.
But it'll be the end.
No, Ted. It won't. You'll see. It'll be the beginning.
It was quite an unusual arrest and an unusual confession. An unusual trial and a rather unusual verdict. Not guilty. It would be nice to be able to say that she was elected, but no, there is a limit to the unusual. A pity. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally, taste testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I've just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste tested it hundreds of times, and each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
You've been hearing some pretty lavish claims recently about miles per gallon. We'd like you to consider something equally important, and that's range. Range is the miles per gallon multiplied by the number of gallons your car's tank holds. Range is what makes the Buick Apollo such a special small car. It comes from coupling the Apollo's economical six-cylinder engine with a standard 21-gallon tank. It holds a lot, but it doesn't use a lot. Look into the Apollo. It's the Buick of small cars.
Would you have confessed to a killing if there were a ready-made and worthless scapegoat? Would you have destroyed a promising career in return for a clear conscience? Doesn't sound like much of a bargain, but there are, so many powerful people who wish they had made it. Why don't we all make a bargain to meet here again next time for another adventure in the unusual and the exciting? Our cast included Tammy Grimes, Paul Hecht, Robert Dryden, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Perfect. This is perfect, Vincent.
And not much traffic. Are you sure he comes here this late at night?
Yes, yes.
And is that...
No. See how the car must practically crawl past because of the construction? This barricade gives us perfect hiding place.
I put blacking on the gun barrel so it wouldn't shine in the moonlight.
Thank you, Vincent.
I have a score to settle with him, too, you know.
Well, not as great as mine.
No. That's why you may have the first two shots. After that...
Listen.
Is that...
Yes.
You sure?
Yes. I can even make out his evil face in the moonlight.
Let him come just a little closer.
I've got him. I've got him. Now.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicine, and new sugar-free diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Sound of Music. This is Stereo 96 FM or 91 AM, KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The House Judiciary Committee has completed public debate on articles of impeachment. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Judiciary Committee, in a late-night session, voted down a fifth and final article of impeachment accusing Mr. Nixon of committing fraud in connection with his income tax payments. Earlier, the committee rejected a fourth article of impeachment involving the president's secret bombing of Cambodia. But the committee did approve an article holding the president impeachable for refusing to obey some committee subpoenas for tapes and documents. Opponents of that article argued that the question of non-compliance of subpoenas was a matter for the courts rather than an impeachable charge. With public debate over, the committee is expected to take about a week to prepare a report, which, along with the impeachment resolution, will be sent to the full House. And it now looks like House debate will be broadcast live. CBS News correspondent Roger Mudd has that report.
The Democratic leadership of the House all but guaranteed that the impeachment debate on the House floor will be broadcast live. Speaker Carl Albert told reporters, quote, "My own belief is that it will be televised." Majority Leader Thomas O'Neill said, quote, "It looks inevitable." There are already 103 signatures of support on the broadcast resolution offered by Democrat Sidney Yates of Illinois. For O'Neill, this was a switch. He had earlier opposed the broadcasting of the House debate because he feared it would become a production. But as one advisor to the leadership put it, the House judiciary people have a very good taste in their mouth after 5 days of live television. Roger Mudd, CBS News, Washington.
The latest on the Cypriot situation in a minute.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart. Contact.
Now listen carefully, because this message may surprise you. There is an ingredient that can effectively help block pollen's bad effect on your system. Sneezing, sniffling, drips, itchy red watery eyes. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists, and it's an ingredient in Contact. Surprising, yes, but the true wonder of Contact is how our tiny time pills keep this antihistamine working, helping. Up to 12 hours per capsule, all day, all night. Allergy is our business, too.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
But give your allergy to Contact. Take Contact only when needed, only as directed.
Turkey and Greece have signed a compromise agreement aimed at bringing peace to Cyprus. The agreement says that lines held by Greek and Turkish soldiers as of 9 o'clock Tuesday night, Geneva time, should be respected by both sides. The actual lines, which still must be defined, apparently will be determined by a helicopter survey on Wednesday. Richard C. Hotlett has a report on reaction to the agreement at the United Nations.
Diplomats at the UN are taking the word from Geneva with great caution. For one thing, a tangled ceasefire, whose outline will not be known until helicopters can photograph it tomorrow morning, suggests that Cyprus may tonight see some hectic movement as both sides try to improve their positions. Another question is whether and how the United Nations will be expected to police the truce. From here, it appears that Turkey has fully capitalized on its military supremacy in Cyprus. There is no talk of withdrawal, and it is Turkish rights on the island which the compromise affirms. Greece seems to have been given just enough in the way of face-saving to let the Karamanlis government face the inevitable domestic outcry. The feeling at the UN is that the political showdown has perhaps been put off, certainly not averted. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
More CBS News coming up.
Time Magazine, what's in it for you this week? Cover story, the 4 days behind the fateful 2711 vote to impeach the president.
Time shows you how private decisions were made.
How differences were reconciled.
How struggles over specificity were resolved.
How each member of the House Judiciary Committee endured his own anguish of responsibility.
In the Nation, a report on the rationale behind the Supreme Court's unanimous no to Mr. Nixon.
The World, a study of the uneasy ceasefire in Cyprus.
The tough talk of the Turks.
The sudden retreat of the Greek generals.
And the return of Konstantin Karamanlis to power in Athens.
These are some of the 46 news stories in the current issue of Time.
Reports that help you view the whole world's week.
For Time takes you to Switzerland to witness the new vigor of evangelical Protestantism.
To Russia, where there's no inflation, only an Orwellian ripoff that does the same thing.
To Australia, to trace an invasion of toads that weigh 3 pounds, live 40 years, and eat almost anything.
And to Vatican City for a look at the problems of putting together a collection of 20th century religious art.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting. Including you.
The Quebec Parliament has voted to make French the official language of the province of Quebec. The bill was opposed by the province's English-speaking minority. Until now, both English and French have been the official languages in Quebec. The price you pay for transatlantic airplane flights is going up again. Starting Thursday, flights between most American cities and Europe will cost 5% more. The price of a flight between Miami and Europe will go up 4%. The Civil Aeronautics Board says increases are necessary because jet fuel costs more. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, KIXI.